72 degrees at 1:30. A Century of Service, presented by the State University of Iowa. This year, the State University of Iowa has reached a landmark in the passage of time. On February 25th, the university became 100 years old. During the past 100 years, the university has passed many landmarks in the discovery of truth, the advancement of knowledge, and their wide dissemination among all the people. Landmarks which culminate in a century of service. This afternoon, the State University of Iowa presents the last in a series of programs in commemoration of its 100th birthday. Today's script is entitled, An Achievement in Understanding.
Freedom, of course, is a relative term, but it means something to each of us. You've all heard of the four freedoms, I'm sure. One of those basic principles is the freedom to worship as we please. Many, many years ago, 1620 to be exact, a group of people called the Pilgrims set out from England in a crowded little sailing ship. They came to this country because they could not worship as they pleased in their native land. And so, America became a Mecca for all those who wanted to escape the oppression of certain governments which tried to fetter this freedom. The pioneers who settled our state of Iowa weren't the Pilgrims, of course, but they too were searching for freedom, which included the right to worship as they pleased. They were a hardy lot. They had a rather rough and ready existence, but they survived and thrived. Without doubt, this evidence of unconquerable spirit can be based on the indomitable faith they had in their God. Every hamlet and town that sprang up soon erected some sort of a church, some sort of a place to worship. No one sect or one religion took the lead, it was universal. Spires of all types began to dot the countryside, and more church bells began ringing out over our Hawkeye state. And then, just 100 years ago, back in 1847, the State University of Iowa was founded. True, it didn't get started right away, but as the years passed, the university grew and became an entity. And with its growth in physical size came a need for spiritual growth and maturity as well. Iowa was a state university, not a denominational school. People of all faiths, of all creeds, came to college. And spires raised themselves toward the heavens in Iowa City. With so many representatives of so many different faiths present on campus, it was rather surprising that there wasn't any more trouble than there was. Back in the old days, tolerance was just a word in the dictionary. Very few people even attempted to understand the philosophy of a creed with which they were not familiar. And the students at Iowa in those days were no exception. There were times when the serpent of bigotry and intolerance might have raised its ugly head, even on a college campus.
Gee, what a rough test that was.
Yeah. What'd you put down for number 37? The one about the sonnets of Shakespeare.
I was so mixed up by that time, I don't remember what I put down. Let's forget about the whole thing.
Just as soon. Hey, what are you doing tonight?
I don't know. Studying, I guess. Why?
Thought maybe you'd like to come to a little meeting I'm going to.
Gee, I hadn't heard about it. What's it going to be about?
Well, you promise not to tell anybody?
Yeah.
Okay, then listen. It's a secret meeting. We're going to organize a secret society.
Secret? Why? What's it for?
Quiet. You want to blab it all over campus? Keep quiet and I'll tell you.
All right. Go on ahead.
Well, a bunch of us don't like the way these here Irish are trying to run the school. The kikes are just as bad. So we're going to organize. Now we're going to put them in their place, see?
Well, I don't know. That sounds pretty bad to me. Won't you get into a pile of trouble?
Nah, who care?
I don't know, Tom.
You don't like them, do you?
Well, I really don't know much about them. I think you better count me out, I guess.
Ah, come on. Those guys really need tending to. We're just the fellas to do it.
Well, all right. I guess I might as well. You're probably right, but... Okay, I'll see you tonight.
Yes, things like that occurred all over the country. Not enough knew the meaning of this strange word, tolerance. And a state university was much more vulnerable to this type of vicious undercurrent because it welcomed all faiths and all creeds as students. So it was that back in January of 1921, the Conference of Church Workers in Universities was holding its annual meeting in the Edgewater Beach Hotel in Chicago.
And now, gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you Dr. O.D. Foster, University Secretary of the Council of Church Boards of Education and Secretary of the Interfaith American Association on Religion. Dr. Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen, I have a very important topic for your consideration this afternoon. It is the teaching of religion in state universities. I'm sure that you will all agree that this subject is most timely and deserves the greatest attention that we can give it.
Well, that was quite a speech you made this afternoon, Dr. Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzgerald. I hope that I was able to emphasize what I consider to be the great importance and timeliness of this topic.
Oh, very definitely, Doctor. I myself have thought about it for some time. It seems to me that the state universities provide a very definite field for the specialized work of a school of religion.
Has your University of Iowa taken any definite steps in this direction?
None that are adequate, but I feel that the time is about right for such procedure. I might be calling on you later for a few suggestions.
Fine. I'll certainly be glad to help you in any way that I can. What will be your first step in calling this idea to the attention of the authorities at Iowa?
As soon as I get back to Iowa City, I shall lay the matter before the chairman of the University Senate Board on Religious Education.
That'll be a fine start. Remember, I'll be only too glad to help you in any way I can.
Thank you, Dr. Foster. I'll remember that.
That was the beginning of an experiment. An experiment in understanding. When Fitzgerald returned to Iowa City, he did as he had told Foster he would and laid the idea before the Senate Board on Religious Education. And the Senate Board appointed a committee headed by Mr. Fitzgerald with instructions to study the field and gather pertinent information from every possible source. This committee, composed of Mr. R.H. Fitzgerald, Father W.P. Shanahan, and Professor E.D. Starbuck, worked hard. They conferred with many people of many different faiths. They spent long hours finding all the data that were at all pertinent. And finally, one day, they were ushered into the office of the president of the university.
Good afternoon, President Jessup.
Oh, good afternoon to you, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, sir.
What can I do for you today?
President Jessup, we want to present to you this afternoon the plan this committee has been working on in relation to the establishment of a school of religion at this university.
Oh, very good. Now, Mr. Fitzgerald, in brief, what is the essence of your proposal?
We propose to set up a so-called two-sided school or schools of religion. Under this plan, part of the work will be done in the university and part by the various church foundations off the campus.
I see. Well, gentlemen, I deem this matter a very important one. I think it should be dealt with immediately. I shall appoint a special faculty group to give your proposal the closest study. And with their recommendations, I feel certain that we can act at once.
Gentlemen of the committee, for the past year, we have been studying the proposal for a school of religion at the University of Iowa. During that time, we have talked with many religious leaders of many faiths. We have garnered a great deal from talks with Dad Elliott of the YMCA, Charles Foster Kent of Yale, and Dr. O.D. Foster, whom you all know is, in his official position, in close touch with national leaders of the Jewish, Catholic, and Protestant faiths. I feel that we have formulated a good plan. To me, The essence of it is reflected in the statement, "The governing board shall be constituted in such a way as to secure the cooperative efforts of the religious bodies of the state and of the university in the support and control of the school." Now, with such a credo, I am certain that the proposed school of religion can be very successful in the teaching and education of students in the ways of tolerance and understanding. Therefore, gentlemen, I suggest that we forward this plan as it now stands to President Jessup immediately, so that he may present it at once for approval to the State Board of Education.
And so the plan was presented to the State Board of Education, and on May 22, 1924, was officially approved by that body. Thus, the first hurdle was passed. The idea of an experiment in understanding had now become a plan. But a plan in theory is only a plan until it is successfully put into operation. Many a magnificent hypothesis has had only one flaw. It won't work. So, as might be expected with such a plan as this, some trepidation was felt by the founders. However, they went ahead with the plan to ask each religious group in the state to provide two representatives, with the university to provide representation equal to the total number from the religious groups. A conscientious effort was made to get each group to appoint its delegates in a manner that would make them most truly and officially representative. But would these people so appointed catch the idea and really enthuse over it? That was the question. The eventful meeting was held in the Senate Chamber of Old Capitol on May 12, 1925. Jewish rabbis, Catholic priests, Protestant ministers, all faiths were represented. Many of them had never met each other before, but this made no difference.
It is my extreme pleasure to announce that the plan to establish a school of religion at the University of Iowa has been formally and unanimously approved by all participants in this great new venture. Gentlemen, I thank you all from the bottom of my heart. Now, if we can continue to progress in such good faith and trust in one another, we should have no more trouble in the future. And now, in compliance with the provision of the plan, we will proceed with the election of the trustees, which will constitute the governing board of the school. These trustees, nine of which will represent the churches, and six the university or at large, must be chosen unanimously by the electors. As you know, gentlemen, we five have been chosen by the Board of Trustees to act as an executive committee. We are meeting today to consider the problem of financing this organization. Yes, Judge Ring?
Am I right in assuming that the various faiths, that is, the Jews, the Catholics, and Protestants, are each willing to support their own professorship?
That is correct.
Well, then it seems to me that our main problem is to provide funds for the administrative work. Now, this would probably entail the salary of an administrative director and also the routine expenses incurred by the school.
I agree. Our problem today, as I see it, is to decide just where we will try to procure the necessary financial assistance. Father Shanahan.
Possibly Mr. John D. Rockefeller would be interested in our undertaking. It is my understanding that any project which is rather new and different and which holds the promise of doing a great deal of good in future years is often chosen as the recipient of his philanthropy.
An excellent suggestion, Father.
Yes, I move that we act immediately and forward an appeal to Mr. Rockefeller for financial aid.
Second the motion.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is carried.
And so the committee sent the appeal to Mr. Rockefeller. Already they had begun to work together, to understand each other a little better, to accomplish things as a welded and cooperative group. But there was still a long road to travel. In the spring of 1926, word came from Mr. Rockefeller that he would grant $35,000 to test the experiment for 3 years. In granting the bequest, Mr. Rockefeller said, "If this can be made to work, it will be the most significant project ever undertaken in higher state education so far as the philosophy of relations of the churches and the state is concerned. So the experiment progressed. But one problem seemed to be followed by another. What many of the participants feared to be the most crucial problem of them all now loomed on the horizon. Who was to be the administrative director of the new school of religion? Who could be entrusted with this mission so fraught with the possibility of failure? Who of sufficient ability would hazard his professional future on such a gamble? Who was respected and trusted by all faiths and all creeds? Well, there was only one man who fitted all these qualifications. He had no rivals. And so the position of administrative director was offered to Dr. M. Willard Lamp, and he accepted. This was March 14, 1927. At the same meeting, the board took the final steps in making the School of Religion a legal corporation.
Do you have all the papers drawn up?
Yes, the articles of incorporation are complete.